Welcome to the KMED News. I'm your news director, April Lewis, and I'm glad to be with you for this broadcast. In this episode, we have stories on the Eureka garbage rate hike. Sheriff Hansel discusses the NCCSC helicopter with another part of KMUD. And a group is suing to protect coho salmon in northern Mendocino. But first, some local alerts and updates. This is KMUD News. From the McKinleyville Community Services District. Beginning in mid-August, the Murray Road parking area and portions of the McKinleyville Community Forest may be temporarily closed to allow hazardous fuels reduction work associated with the Murray Road Fuel Break Project. This project is part of the Community Wildfire Protection Plan, Phase 6, and focuses on reducing fuels along Murray Road, a key ingress and egress route between McKinleyville and Fieldbrook. The work will improve wildfire preparedness by reducing ladder fuels, enhancing firefighter access, and helping provide safer evacuation routes for the surrounding community. The Murray Road Fuel Break Project is one of five wildfire prevention projects being implemented through the Wildfire Protection Plan Phase 6 grant. The Humboldt County Resource Conservation District serves as the project lead in partnership with the McKinleyville Community Services District, Green Diamond Resource Company, and other local partners to reduce wildfire risk and improve community resilience throughout Humboldt County. This collaborative project is designed to reduce wildfire risk, improve forest health, and increase the resilience of the wildland-urban interface surrounding the McKinleyville Community Forest. For the safety of the public and project crews, please respect all posted closure signs and do not enter closed areas while work is underway. In southern Humboldt, there was a small wildfire today, Thursday, August 6th, north of Edersburg in southern Humboldt County. The fire was first reported around 3 p.m. near 1690 Dutyville Road, with callers reporting a column of smoke. CAL FIRE Air Attack was quickly on scene, along with local fire departments, including Telegraph Ridge. The fire was held at a quarter acre and was possibly ignited by downed power lines. A reminder in southern Humboldt. The Humboldt County Department of Public Works are conducting a surface removal and resurfacing project on Redwood Drive until Friday, August 13th. Road crews are grinding the existing roadway and hauling away the removed surface material before paving a new surface. The majority of the work is in the intersection of Sproul Creek Road and to the south end of Garberville, as well as a small portion of the northbound lane just north of Sproul Creek Road. Work is taking place from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Travelers should expect 15-minute delays and are asked to drive slowly, follow all traffic control devices and road signs in the project area. If you have any concerns or questions regarding this project, please call 707-445-7421. And up next, our main stories. This is KMUD News. Sheriff Hansel was in the process of scheduling follow-up with KMUD News, but he strangely decided to take our discussion topics to another part of the station. KMUD News reports. As many of our listeners are aware, KMUD News has been actively reporting and tracking marijuana enforcement activity funded by the Northern California Coalition to Safeguard Communities, or NCCSC, which is a nonprofit funded by the Howard Buffett Foundation. The NCCSC funds the tail number N487HB helicopter that is actively used for cannabis enforcement operations by the Humboldt Sheriff's Department. While working on figuring out what's behind the NCCSC and the recent uptick in enforcement activity, KMUD News has been in active contact with Sheriff William Hansel, who is also the president of the NCCSC. Meaning Sheriff Hansel leads a coalition that actively privately funds his own cannabis enforcement operations via grants. Conversations with the sheriff were tense at points, but he communicated clearly that he wanted to continue talking with KMUD News, including a direct comment that he would speak with us upon returning from a lobbying trip to Virginia. The trip to a DEA hearing on cannabis rescheduling was paid for by three states, Indiana, Idaho, and Nebraska, all of whom oppose moving cannabis from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3. However, upon returning, Sheriff Hansel decided to recant on his previous statements and instead send a near-identical list of discussion topics we had sent him, this time to one of K-Mud's volunteers. The volunteer approached K-Mud News last week with Hansel's discussion topics, and needless to say, we were perplexed. While free speech is a huge part of K-Mud's ethos, and anyone is welcome on our station's programming, Hansel's evasion of the professional news organization within KMUD was surprising. We communicated with Sheriff Hansel on these concerns and relayed that K-Mud News is its own professional news organization separate from other K-Mud programming. While the sheriff communicated that he would speak in future about an interview, he also expressed his feelings that our coverage is biased and that he felt that one of our volunteer hosts would be far more, quote, fair and balanced. It is not uncommon for journalists to be disrespected by public figures, and this behavior by Sheriff Hansel is not uncommon behind the scenes. However, going around K-Mud News to book time on another K-Mud show to discuss the exact same topics we brought up was certainly a unique reaction. We believe many in the community enjoy seeing public officials challenged by our news coverage, and we hope in the future that Sheriff Hansel can engage with us and challenge any part of our coverage that he disagrees with. We'd like to bring you some audio of Hansel from the show last night, which is K-Mud's monthly Civil Liberties call-in show. While the sheriff mostly stated familiar talking points, he also made some interesting comments. Namely, we want to focus on what seems like contradictory points. First, with Sheriff Hansel explaining why the NCCSC helicopter has to hover over so many DCC-licensed cannabis farms.
This is how we do the aerial surveillance. And I know that we get complaints from licensed permitted growers because, you know, we have our marijuana deputies that are flying, that are circling different areas, and they see, you know, marijuana being grown outside. They don't have a permit map, essentially, that they can easily access, you know, from the air. So they may, you know, look at it, take a picture, you know, document from the air, and then locate, you know, get a precise location, a GPS location, you know, at that location. And then they'll go back, you know, to their office and they'll look at the permits, the maps, and say, okay, they have a license for state and local marijuana production. We're good. So they delete the pictures, delete the GPS, and they go on to the next one that they look at. You know, a lot of marijuana being grown still in Humboldt County. And so our job is to go after the illegal marijuana growers. And as you know, the price per pound is getting very low, and it's becoming very difficult to continue to make money, you know, when it comes to marijuana. And so our job is to make sure that the legal growers are supported. Our job is to make sure that we go after the illegal ones. So yes, it may be an inconvenience for us to fly over. You may hear the sound. It may be a little bit annoying. You know, they, you know, won't be there for long. It's usually about 5 minutes that they're flying over, and they're going on to the next site.
But why doesn't the Humboldt Sheriff's Department have accurate mapping of properties? Hansel's points on ignorance of location don't correlate with many DCC-licensed cannabis farms being visited multiple times by the NCCSC helicopter. Nor do they make a lot of sense, considering an additional clarification he made during Wednesday night's conversation.
We can look at a map, and we can look at, you know, satellite surveillance, you know, and look at, you know, different areas of the county that has, you know, illegal structures on it. But for us to write a search warrant, we have to actually see it with our own eyes. And so that's what it takes someone in a helicopter flying over in order to write the affidavit to a search warrant and sign the probable cause statement saying to a judge, I saw marijuana being grown on this property. Here's the photo. Here's the GPS location. This is what I know about that parcel who doesn't have a permit. So that's why we have to fly over. You know, if there was a better way that we could do it, we would do it.
So why can't the Humboldt Sheriff's Department check the live satellite images first, pick suspected sites, and then use the helicopter to look with their own eyes and seek warrants on specific sites instead of region-wide surveillance by helicopter? Something isn't adding up here, and it's precisely why we hope Sheriff Hansel will engage further with KMUD News on this issue. The sheriff also spoke on the NCCSC itself, and unlike the coalition's own website, which focuses almost entirely on human trafficking, stated that the organization is focused on illegal marijuana, which he argues results in widespread human trafficking and organized crime. We are still waiting on any human trafficking cases from recent enforcement activity and haven't been presented with any evidence from the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department. We hope to hear back from Sheriff Hansel and begin earnest discussions on the recent helicopter enforcement activity and NCCSC-assisted marijuana raids in Mendocino County. Reporting for KMUD, I'm April Lewis. Amid heated debate, Eureka's mayor was called upon to break a tie council vote on increasing Eureka's garbage service rate. Daniel Mintz reports.
A rate increase for Eureka's garbage and recycling pickup service was approved by the city council after bitter debate and the mayor's breaking of a tie vote. Failing to gain approval at the July 21st council meeting due to an absence of two council members, the rate increase was revisited and approved at the August 4th meeting. It raises the monthly fee for customers using a 32-gallon trash bin by $3.61, bringing the fee to $45.94. Environmental project manager Robin Prasker said the city's franchise agreement with Recology Humboldt County allows annual rate hikes, quote, to ensure that rates recover the cost of providing collection services. But after a lengthy discussion on the scale of previous rate increases and whether the current one is justified, Councilmember Renee Contreras-Deloach vouched for controlling fee hikes.
I think saying $3.60 a month is really minimizing because it's 25% over the last, 25 to 30% over the last 4 years. So that's different. And when people are on fixed incomes and they have $700 a month, then I do think 25%, 25 to 30% increases make a difference. It's not something people can opt out of. And I get what you're saying. I appreciate it. I appreciate what you said and, you know, how you explained it. That was why I did what I did when it was brought in front of us last time, was so that it could come back for a bigger discussion, while I also said that I had an issue with it. But it just seems like all anybody ever does is just wring their hands and say, well, what can we do? Can't do anything. And we just keep raising the rates and raising the rates on everybody across the board on everything. And I just, you know, I really feel for our community members.
That and Contreras-Deloach's choice of words were discussed in this edgy exchange between Councilmember Leslie Castellano and Contreras-Deloach.
The statement that all we do is wring our hands and don't do anything to support citizens, I think that's a gross exaggeration of what we're doing up here. And I personally find that offensive, that that's what I've been doing for the last 8 years. And I don't take it lightly that you're using this issue to talk about that all we're doing is like raising rates for people. That's not true. And like, yes, costs are going up. Like, look at the global situation, you know, like look at the national situation, look at like systemic failures, but don't talk about that like we're sitting in here on council wringing our hands.
Well, I'm sorry if I offended you, Councilmember Castellano. It certainly isn't personally intended, but we do talk about it. We talk about how we really wish we didn't have to do it, and then we pass the rate increase, and that's what I'm speaking to, which is what we've continued to do. We do talk about that. We all feel kind of helpless about it, and then we just pass it along. So I feel like that's factual. It certainly isn't intended as an attack toward you and all the service that you do.
After confirming that Recology offers a lower rate to seniors, Mayor Kim Burgell had some strident commentary on the situation and the use of the term wring their hands.
We do what we have to do to support our city and our citizens. And we've been doing it a long time. And the fact that in our society, gas prices have gone up, milk prices have gone up, movie ticket prices have gone up, coffee's gone up, everything's gone up, everything is going up. We don't have control over how much gas costs, how far we have to drive. That's a great opportunity to look at in the future. Let's look at finding new ways to move our trash so that we don't have to pay all those gas prices. That might be an option. There are other ways to look at this, but to say that council wrings our hands, that is really offensive and annoying. I mean, it's like we work really hard up here. We work really hard. We show up. We do the work. And to have that said by a council member is very upsetting.
A vote on the rate hike resulted in a tie, with council members Mario Fernandez and Contreras Deloche voting against it. Council member Katie Moulton was absent. Burgell, who as mayor only votes to break ties, did so by voting for the increase. The hearing didn't offer any insight on public reaction because, as with the previous meeting, there were no takers when the floor opened for public comment. In Eureka for KMUD News, this is Daniel Mintz.
The Northern Mendocino Group, Friends of Dutch Charlie Creek, are suing to prevent logging in the area in order to protect coho salmon, KMUD News reports. The group, Friends of Dutch Charlie Creek, are trying to protect a sensitive area of coho salmon habitat from already approved logging. The creek is in northern Mendocino, west of Laytonville, and feeds into the South Fork of the Eel River. The group consists of scientists and also local residents. They are suing CAL FIRE, who approved the logging, and Redwood Timber Company, also known as RTC. We spoke with Friends of Dutch Charlie Creek member Philip McGarvey to learn more about the lawsuit and what is behind the effort. He started our interview with some background on his experiences as a resident of the area.
I've been living in this watershed, the Dutch Charlie watershed, for 8 years, caretaking some land here. And I just have really fallen in love with the place, with the land and the forest, and gotten to learn all about it, walking all over it for years. And the group, Friends of Dutch Charlie Creek, is myself and a number of friends and neighbors, including some scientists who really, really love the land here and the upper South Fork Eel River and the salmon and all the wildlife.
What are your main issues with Redwood Timber Company's harvest plan?
There's a lot of issues. The biggest ones would probably be, how it's going to impact the coho salmon habitat. So coho are endangered, not a lot left in California. And this creek is one of their prime habitats in California. It happens to be the densest coho population consistently when it's surveyed by CDFW. Of any stream in California, as far as I know, definitely in the South Fork Eel River. So like this area that we're in is the prime coho habitat in California, and this is like the best of the creeks for them. And so these timber harvest plans, they include a whole lot of exceptions to the standard forest practice rules to allow things like bulldozing near the creeks and cutting trees, unmarked trees in the buffer zones around the creeks, and using heavy equipment on the steepest slopes, things like that that just shouldn't be allowed here. And as well, the haul roads for hauling logs out of the watershed run right along the creek. And so there's really no way to prevent fine sediment from using those haul roads to prevent fine sediment from getting into the creek when they drive the log trucks on those roads. And the sediment damages the coho habitat by kind of filling in the pools.
I noticed on your lawsuit that CAL FIRE is included along with RTC. You know, what was their involvement and why does your group think that these approvals happen despite this being a very sensitive area?
It's an interesting story. In this case, they first wanted to log here 5 years ago with a previous plan on the same area. So they submitted that plan, and I wrote a long letter to CDFW explaining, you know, how this was going to impact the coho habitat here. And at that time, they took it seriously and sent somebody down here to do an inspection of the plan, and they found a lot of issues with the road system. And they wrote like 20 pages of recommendations for strict protections for the coho habitat in this watershed. And so after that, the timber company withdrew that plan, and now they came back 5 years later with two new plans in the same place that basically do the same thing, but they also include all these new exceptions to the rules. And so we wrote CDFW with the same letter, like, you know, telling them, you know, that this is happening again, and got no response. And the new timber harvest reviewer at CDFW didn't mention any of it, didn't respond to any emails. And so they just kind of rubber stamped it. CAL FIRE did the same. I mean, you know, they did make some recommendations for changes to the plan, but mostly around like very specific spots, you know, culverts and stuff, which is great, but they did not even attempt to address all the things in our comments.
Having some older trees in that spot, plus the sensitivity of the salmon habitat, is there any resolution to this that would be reasonable for the environment that also includes logging? Or because of the sensitivity of this area, does your group think that there's basically no way that this spot should be logged?
Yeah, I mean, I could speculate about like ways to you know, thin smaller trees out that could, you know, not impact the environment as much. But in this particular place, because of the problems with the road network, there's really no way to get to most places without real problems to the salmon habitat. So I don't think it even makes sense to try to do that. And so what we're calling for is for the watershed to be protected permanently, you know, in some form as a protected area, and just not do logging here. There's tons of land around that's been logged many times and can keep being logged. There's no reason to go after the old growth trees in the one place with the most coho in California.
Would love to know just a little bit more about what's happening right now with your lawsuit, and then a little bit about the upcoming hearing in Ukiah that I believe you're looking to have folks participate or come to and support.
So where the lawsuit stands right now, the court in Mendocino County didn't give a restraining order, which is typically in a case like this, you can get a restraining order to halt the logging until the lawsuit can be heard. And in this case, they just denied that, and the appeal court did the same thing. So we're still hoping to get a preliminary injunction 3 weeks from now. The hearing for that is August 27th at the Ukiah Courthouse at 2 p.m., courtroom H. And the arguments that are being made right now, the other side is arguing that there's no evidence in the record whatsoever that their plans will cause any sediment discharge into the creeks. And we're arguing that they do, and that the plans are required by CEQA to assess those impacts, which currently they just don't mention at all the potential for impacts from the road network, etc.
The hearing on the Friends of Dutch Charlie Creek lawsuit will be held on August 27th at the Ukiah Courthouse at 2 p.m. in Courtroom H. You can also learn more about the effort to protect Dutch Charlie Creek and its coho salmon population at savethecoho.org. Reporting for KMUD, I'm April Lewis. Groups that fight for better access to healthcare are asking lawmakers in Sacramento to take a fresh look at proposals for state-sponsored long-term care insurance. Suzanne Potter has more.
A nonprofit that fights for better access to healthcare is speaking out about affordability issues in long-term care funding. In-home care costs more than $60,000 a year. Assisted living is about $54,000, and a private room in a nursing home is around $108,000, according to the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. Very low-income people will rely on Medi-Cal, but Bonnie Burns with the nonprofit California Health Advocates says only wealthy people can afford newer hybrid policies policies that provide a cash benefit for long-term care paired with an annuity or life insurance policy. So, people with average incomes struggle.
And those people who can't afford those and who are not poor are really stuck because there isn't anything out there to finance that kind of care for those middle-income older people.
Census figures show that by 2030, almost 73 million Americans in the baby boomer generation will reach retirement age. A few years ago, Washington State became the first in the nation to create a long-term care program financed by a tax on wages. Burns says the State of California Long-Term Care Task Force produced reports a few years back that laid out five options to address the issue, but lawmakers have not taken action.
Certainly, one or more of those options could be a viable way to fund care for the middle-income population as they age. It just needs some attention by the state legislature.
Burns adds that the massive cuts to Medicare made by Republicans in Congress last summer will translate into cuts in home-based care and nursing home care for low-income families in the Golden State.
That's all for our news broadcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our rotation of broadcast engineers, Dennis Marr, Katie Phillips, Bianna Federico, Michael McCaskill, Larry Lashley, and Javier Rodriguez. Also thanks to our reporter for this broadcast, Daniel Mintz. KMUD News is now on streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening. You can also follow us on social media at KMUD News, including Facebook and Instagram. Do you have issues important to you that deserve more attention? Are there stories we're missing or that you're curious about? You can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmud.org. Redwood Community Radio Incorporated is funded by Press Forward, the national movement to strengthen communities by reinvigorating local news. Learn more at pressforward.news. Redwood Community Radio acknowledges that its transmitter sites are located in the unceded territory of the Tsingkiyone, Wailaki, Wiat, Wilkut, and Kato people. We honor ancestors past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the ongoing cultural, spiritual, and physical connection that these tribes have to the region. I'm April Lewis. Stay tuned in.